there, I know. 5 o'clock, Trisha, tonight? Trisha says 6. Oh, me. Show up at 5. 6. 6 o'clock tonight, and we'll have a short Devo and some food. So be here at 6. Also, I wanted to let you guys know that the website is up. The new farmvillechurch.com. They finished setting that up, so you're welcome to look at that after worship, not during worship. I'll know because I can see your faces light up blue if you're going to look. This morning, as I was preparing the lesson this week, I was in the building, in the multipurpose building, looking out the door outside, and I was, you know, trying to think of, I was just thinking about today and about the lesson, and I stepped on a bee. I was just standing there by the door, and I felt it buzzing under my sock, and when I realized it was alive, you know, I hopped up, I jumped backwards, and I looked, and it didn't sting me, thank goodness, but there was the bee buzzing around, and I kicked it outside, but it got me to thinking, since I was thinking about the lesson, about the similarities between bees and Christians. We as Christians, we've been talking about our three ministries of the church. We've got the good build, good will, and the good spill we're going to talk about today. Bees are really interesting creatures. They communicate with each other through smells, pheromones, things like all bugs do. And they also communicate to one another by dancing. I'm not going to do that this morning. But that's the way bees do it. And they communicate with each other to tell one another where the good fields are with the most flowers so that they can get the resources they need in order to build one another up, in order to build up the church in the same way that we communicate to one another in order to build one another up. And also, I learned that bees, they have an interesting relationship with the bees in their community and also with other animals. You know, they share those resources that they collect with one another in kind of sharing in the same way that we share in our goodwill. And they also share, I don't know if they want to, but they share with strangers. In Africa, there's an animal called a honey badger, and it is able to find beehives. It will climb up into trees and get at these beehives where, you know, the Africanized beehive, those killer bees, those are the bees that they're after and getting the honey from. And it's interesting because there's a bird called a honey guide, and it will follow the honey badger to the beehive to get some spare larva maybe and some bugs for itself. And it's interesting because not only does it help the honey badger feed him, and it not only does that help the honey guide, but also native Africans learned that they could follow the honey guide, the bird, to the beehive and find that the bees, by the time they got there, have spread out and gone, and they could run off the honey badger and get the honey and the beeswax, which they would then in turn use for food and different kinds of medicine. So the bees, in their act of goodwill, are helping one another out, and they're helping out strangers, whether it be a honey badger or human. And we do the same thing. And I also learned, well, you may already know this. I've been hearing this off and on since college, but did you know that bees save the world? I've heard it described that way. We need bees. They're pollinators. They pollinate 80% of the food that we eat. And they also pollinate grasses that, like alfalfa, that we feed our cows and our various domesticated animals. So scientists that study bees, biologists, think that if there were no bees, if the bees died off, or if the bees decided to stop pollinating the different flowers and the different plants, then we would be without that 80% of our food supply, and a lot of us would starve to death. The way that these bees pollinate is they land on one flower, and they get pollen all over them. because it's there, and it's like a poof cloud for a bee all over them. And then they fly to the next flower. That pollen drops off. It just spills right off of them into this next flower. And it's a sharing, a good spill for these flowers from one flower to the next. And what it does in so doing is it saves the world. That's what scientists want us to know about. And we, as Christians, also participate in a good spill. The ministry of the good spill that we have is one that saves. It's a ministry that's different from the good build. You know, the good build that we talked about that equips the saints, but it does not create saints. And the ministry of the goodwill that we talk about, it's necessary for supplying the needs of the saints and strangers for life on this earth. But the ministry of the goodwill does not create saints. The ministry of the good spill is necessary. It's necessary for salvation, for expansion of the church, for the expansion of God's kingdom. And it has a lasting effect for the good build ministry and for the good will ministry to have their lasting effect. We have to be a part of the good spill ministry. And if you're curious, the big word that I'm trying to avoid this week is evangelism. So we've been talking about, let me see if I can remember, edification was the good build, benevolence is the goodwill, and this week evangelism is our big word. It's the good spill. And if you look in your Bibles, you'll see this word translated several different ways in English. You'll see it translated as gospel. The Greek word eugelion, aren't you glad you know? It's translated gospel, which means good news. The Greek word eugelizo, aren't you glad you know? It's translated to preach, and it means to bring the good news. And the Greek word eugelestes, maybe, is the Greek word that's translated evangelism, which means, or evangelist, and that's one who declares the good news. And when we speak of evangelism or the good spill today, we're talking about sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. And we do hear about the good news from the pulpit. We hear it from Christian radio stations and TV shows, and we hear it from books and from various Christian publications. But we cannot forget that the good spill is a ministry of the church. And a church is a light to this world. And a church without the ministry of the good spill will go out. The light will go out. A church should be a light to the world, a flame. And a flame, if you know anything about fires, flames ignite other materials. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. And a church without the good spill will eventually go out. A church without good spill does not make sense any more than a fire that does not burn does not make any sense. One of the church's main functions that we're talking about today is the ministry of the good spill. So the church supports evangelists, we know that, who dedicate their lives to the gospel, whether they stay in the community and preach from a pulpit, or whether they go out and preach to prisons, or if they go into foreign countries, or if they aid those who are teaching and preaching to us. The church supports that kind of activity. And the church good builds, and the church good wills individual members of the church in order to participate in the good spill in their own lives. We're being equipped by one another in the good build. We're building one another up, and we're supplying one another with what we need in order to further God's message, in order that we can all be a part of this good spill message, this good news message. I'm going to give you three quick reminders of why it's necessary for you and me as individuals, why it's expected of us to participate in this good spill message. First, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, but I'm going to read verse 9 first. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are Christians. We are part of the church so that we are part of this holy nation, this people that God's called to be his own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of God. I realize here it doesn't say gospel, it doesn't say good news, but what does it say? Excellencies. That sounds even better than good. Proclaim. That's the news that we're proclaiming. We are a part of this church, a part of the holy nation, so that we will spread the good news. It's our purpose. Let's look at verse 10. Let's go back to our passage here. It says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, as a side note, I wanted to let you know that right after it reminded us as to why we need to share the good news, it gave us the good news. We have been given this mercy. And we also do this good spill not just because it's the purpose God had for us, but because it once saved us. And because the love of Christ compels us to spread the good news, the good spill. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. This is a second quick reminder here. Paul is speaking for his reason for being a part of this good spill ministry as an ambassador for Christ. He says, for Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. The love of Christ compels. It should compel us to do the same thing that it compelled Paul to do, to persuade others to take part in the ministry of reconciliation, to be reconciled to God. And we can't do that without knowing the gospel. We can't have people reconciling to God if they don't know what the gospel is. It's our purpose to be a part of the good spill, and it's also pushed, we should feel it, a compulsion to do this. As we're filled up with the love of Christ, we're so filled that it spills out into the lives of those around us. And as a side note here again, we see Paul giving a short gospel message with his reasoning for us to be a part of the spreading of this message. Verses 15 through 21. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled himself, us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our gospel message. Verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. This is the message, that we are not, our sin is not counted against us any longer, and can be reconciled to God. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If we know the love of Christ in us, if we realize what God has done for us through Christ, that love should spill out. It should compel us to persuade others to do the same. We can be reconciled to God through Christ. And that is good news. Now the third and last reminder here today for why we should all participate in the ministry of the good spill. It's found in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm not saying these are the only reminders for why we should participate. I just didn't want to get into 50 or 60 different reasons. Let's look at these three. Romans 1, verse 14 through 17. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. We as Christians are obligated. I remember a story about a missionary to China. He was a doctor. He was on a medical mission. And he was an optometrist. In his days there, he met a poor Chinese guy who was blind. He came into his office. He was blinded by cataracts in his eyes. An optometrist was able to remove those cataracts so that he could see. And the blind man was very thankful. And he went home. And what do you think he did when he got there? Do you think he said, I'm not going to tell anybody about this, because if I tell somebody that I can see, they're going to think poorly of me. They're not going to like this message. They're going to start thinking, hey, who is this guy who is blind and now he can see? Who is this guy who thinks he can live a better life because he can see? Does he think he's better than us because he can see and we can't? That's not what happened. That would not make sense. Although that's sometimes what happens with us. What happened with this man is he went home to his own village, and he was there for a while, and the missionary a few weeks later was looking out his window, and he sees this man that he took the cataracts out of his eyes, and he's walking down the road towards the doctor's office, and he's not alone. He has a rope with him, and he's leading 10 other Chinese men who were blind. They were all holding the rope. This man had gone home and shared the good news that he was blind and now he could see. And he shared it, and now he was bringing 10 more people back to share in this good spill, this good news. He understood the message, this good spill message. He knew that it was a message of power. And we should realize that this gospel message is a message of power. It's the power of God bringing salvation. Not just vision, but salvation. Salvation to everyone. Do you want people to be saved? Do you realize that God has saved you? He has reconciled you to himself. He's added you to his church and given into your hands this message of reconciliation. The good spill message. He's given it to us, and it's the power to save. He's given us the power to save everyone. Everyone. We just have to take part in this good spill. Can you see from these three reminders that we've talked about that participation in the good spill should be less forced? We don't want to think about it as a command that we have to do. We don't want to do it out of fear and obligation. It's more of something that is an overflow of the love within us, an understanding of the power of the gospel message. It's an overflow to others. In the same way that those bees can't carry all the pollen, and when they go from one flower to another, it spills out and it gives life to the whole field of flowers, the whole field of corn. Whatever bees pollinate, I don't know, coffee. In the same way, when we understand this good spill, this good news message and what it has done for us, it should overflow, it should spill out onto all those around us. The love we ourselves have been shown should be spilling out, and it should be difficult for us to keep it in because we're so excited about it. The good spill is the Christian's responsibility. Each of us has a responsibility. It's necessary for the growth of the church and the growth of God's kingdom, and it's necessary for the salvation of the world. So what is this message of the gospel? We're going to be talking about it for the next several weeks, this idea of evangelism. I'll probably start calling it evangelism. I might as well get used to using the big word for it. But the good spill, what is this message? It's the message of the cross. It's the message we find the New Testament is telling us. It's the message of the entire Bible. But there are a few brief reminders in Scripture. Brief reminders to Christians of what the gospel message is. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. If you turn to 5, which is what the bulletin says, that's not what we're talking about today. I'm glad Bob pointed that out for me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And just for fun, I'm going to translate those words gospel, good news, and preach, bringing good news. I'm going to translate those for you. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the good news I brought as good news to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I brought as good news to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the good spill. For us Christians, we know this message. This is a message of the good news from Christian to Christian. As a reminder, Christ died for our sins, fulfilling God's promises. Christ died for our sins, fulfilling God's promises. Christ was buried. Christ was raised on the third day, fulfilling God's promises. Try to commit this to memory this week, this good spill message for yourself, so that you can understand that's what saved you. Think about why you believed in the first place when you heard this gospel message. Consider how you can improve your good spill efforts. Reflect on your love for Christ and your love for others. And this morning, if you're here wondering what this gospel message means, sometimes we hear this message here as Paul lays it out. Okay, Christ came, he died for our sins, and he was raised. After he was buried, he was raised. Okay, that's great. So what? How does that affect me? Well, first we have to understand that we had sins. This world is lost. This world is destined for flames and agony and separation from the good grace that we now live under, the good grace of God. This world has no hope, because not one person can live a sinless life, and it only takes one sin to separate you forever from God. And there is only one penalty for sin, that separation from God, death. That doesn't sound like good news, does it? That's the preface. The good news comes next. God made a way for us to be reconciled to him, for us to come back to him. God sent his Son to this earth. God came in the flesh to live a perfect life for us, to see as an example for us to how to live. And we killed him. Jesus came to this earth and lived a perfect life, and we killed him. But God knew, Christ knew, that this was the only way. This was the only way to save us. Christ had to die. He died in our place, and he took on our punishment. Death. He's done all the work. All we have to do is accept that gift. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe the gospel message? Are you willing to confess this belief? This is what Christ wants. He wants us to accept and meet him in his death, burial, and resurrection. According to Acts 2:38 and 41, Peter says to a crowd that is gathered, he's given them this message that you killed the Son of God. And they say, what are we going to do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, those who received his word, not all of those who heard it, but all those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You have heard the good news this morning. You hear the good news anytime you come to worship with us, you hear it in our songs and in our prayers as we thank God for the sacrifice. You hear it on Sunday mornings as we remember what Christ has done for us as we take communion. And you hear it, hopefully, in the sermons that you hear and in the Bible classes. You hear the good news as you come to church with us. If you believe the good news, if you believe this good spill that's getting all over you, don't let your belief lie dead. You must act on it. A belief is nothing without action. Act on your belief. Repent. Confess that you believe and be baptized, and you'll be added to God's kingdom. And all that remains for any of us as Christians is to live faithfully. Christ takes care of the rest. Christians, does your love for Christ compel you to love sinners as Christ loves sinners? And as Christ loves others, does the love of Christ compel you to love others as Christ loves others? Have you been neglecting the gospel message at every turn? Are you standing in the gospel? Are you standing in the way of the gospel? This morning I invite you to come forward if you'd like to share your struggle with us. If you need prayers or encouragement of the church for any reason, or if you would like to accept the terms of the gospel, accept the gospel message and say, I want that salvation that Christ offers. I want to be a part of that. I want to be saved. I encourage you to come forward now as we stand and sing.